Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE Factory Approved Warehouse Outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780, ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Johnny Football, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you miss the first hour, all kinds of good stuff, including a lot of technical issues that we have no idea.
I think we got it.
I think we figured those out. It just, you know, throws you off your game for a little bit, but we talked a little horse racing. We talked a little football. We talked a little money secreting from places.
Right.
So a little bit of everything. If it's all right with you, I'd like to kind of go over some of the highlights that I put in this this article, and I want to know if any of these things appeal to you. And I broke them down into different categories of available quarterbacks. So pretty much every possibility that could be playing quarterback for your Texans next year. Okay. I'm guaranteeing you at least one name on this list will be on the roster, probably two. But it's available on Examiner. I tweeted out earlier if you want to read the whole thing, so I'm not going to – it's pretty long, so I'm not what's the update over there?
That Dean Spanos has announced the Chargers will stay in San Diego for 2016 and hope to remain permanently.
Interesting.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Which means that the Raiders now have a chance to team up with the Rams.
That would make some sense.
And the Raiders in L.A., that's
the
perfect fit.
Raiders and Rams, you got an AFC and an NFC.
I mean, it's the same two teams that used to be there.
Right, and all is back normal in the world. All right, so we'll start with the guys who are technically holdovers, right? Brian Hoyer's still under contract. I'm on record as saying they should cut him because, frankly, I don't think there's a hell of a lot of difference between what they get out of him and Brandon Weeden or T.J. Yates, but okay. Tom Savage, and then, of course, you have Weeden and Yates. I'm guessing either Hoyer or Weeden, lesser chance Yates, is back, and hopefully that's your veteran backup quarterback.
Okay.
Savage probably gets a chance for the job.
Oh, to be the starter?
Yeah. And I'm not crazy about that for a lot of reasons. We talk about durability. But, okay, so that's your holdover guys. All right?
All right.
Now, here are the retreads.
You didn't mention Daniels.
I did not because I can't see him playing quarterback other than in Wildcat again. These are guys who are high draft picks that are probably going to be released by their current teams. And this is a list of all those names that everybody throws out. What about this guy? What about this guy? So Bob Griffin. And now some of these guys are not going to get cut. I think there's a chance Sir Jonathan Manziel stays in Cleveland. I think with Chip Kelly in San Francisco, Colin Kaepernick may get another chance there. Sam Bradford. And here's another name for you that we haven't talked about, E.J. Manuel. Okay. Those are former high picks. Of those, I think Griffin will be available. I don't know if you want to overpay for him. We've talked about that. I would take him on a deal that doesn't cost me anything with incentives, and if he busts, he busts. I kind of feel the same way about Bradford and Kaepernick. I think Bradford goes for too much money. I think Griffin goes for too much money, which leaves you with you could do a reclamation project on E.J. Manuel. It's not going to cost you anything. Does that do anything for you?
The problem is with this whole thing, is when you're looking for a quarterback this offseason, you're looking for a guy who you think can be the starter for the foreseeable future.
That's the goal. I mean, that's what their stated goal is that we've got to have a long-term answer at quarterback. And of those, I mean, I think Griffin could be that. I think Bradford could be that. But I don't think they are now, and they'd have a lot to prove. So for them to do that, I'm not paying them a ton of money. Somebody else is going to dump money on those
guys. I don't think E.J. Manuel is going to be a good NFL quarterback.
See, I always thought he needed time, And but the one thing about him, he really hasn't shown you any flashes that say, you know, this guy might turn it around at some point. Now, obviously, you get him with Bill O'Brien. Maybe he solves some things now that he's been in the league a little bit. Maybe you get him turned around, and if you've got him on a really cheap deal, then he works out great. But those are the kind of names we're talking about. You know, and then obviously draft picks. And right now, that's really up in the air because you don't know. Somebody's going to go through the roof here. They always do. There's talk that the Browns are falling in love with Carson Wentz at number two. So, yeah. So, basically, Jared Goff, Paxton Lynch, Carson Wentz. I'm fine if any one of those three guys is at 22. I think that's an okay place for him because I don't know that any of them are going to be any good. And one of them might be. And then you get into that next group that if you don't do that, either you trade down and you take Connor Cook or Cardale Jones or Christian Hackenberg or Kevin Hogan or one of those project guys, which I think is probably a better Tom Savage in theory. But that's kind of where you are on the draft picks. That's still up in the air because there's a lot to go on that. Then there's the backups. And there's some names here that I think might work out. But first, there's the standard guys, the Mark Sanchez, Mike Glennon, Geno Smith, Chase Daniel, Scott Tolzien. To me, those are all different Hoyers or Whedons.
Yes.
I mean, it's just you're just shuffling veteran quarterbacks. And I would say the same thing for Colt McCoy, Tavares Jackson, Derek Anderson. All those guys are veteran guys who are backup quarterbacks for a reason.
Yeah, none of them are a long-term starter in this league.
So the intriguing possibilities to me become guys that were highly thought of when they were drafted. Maybe they slipped a little bit in the draft. They go someplace, and they've been sitting for a couple years. You probably got to give up a draft pick, but considering what the Texans do with their third and fourth round picks, doesn't bother me. A lot of people ask about A.J. McCarron, but the Bengals have no incentive to trade him.
No.
Especially with Andy Dalton coming off the injury.
He's under control for two more years for like less than $500,000 a year.
You would have to pay a significant draft pick. Are you ready to do that?
No.
I'm not. And I would have been ready to draft him when they had the chance, but okay. A couple other names, more affordable options where it's going to cost you a pick, but it's not going to cost you what it would for him. Ryan Nassib in New York.
No.
Highly regarded coming out of college, has never taken a snap because he never needs to.
You remember that was a guy that everyone said was like the surefire lock that the Texans would take.
He was one of them, I think. Yeah. But, again, he's an unknown, but at least he's an unknown that's been in the league for a few years.
No, I'll pass.
The other one, and this is a name that intrigues me, is Brett Hundley in Green Bay. Another guy who's been sitting behind Aaron Rodgers. Theoretically, he's learned something. I like that guy coming out of college. Again, you're going to have to give up a pick. These better options than Connor Cook and Christian Slackenberg and guys like that. I kind of think so. That's a guy I wouldn't mind gambling on a little bit.
I think I'd rather have Connor Cook than I'd rather have the new guys than Brett Hundley.
See, I wouldn't. I would much rather have Brett Hundley.
I didn't like Brett Hundley
coming out. So that's and you're going to have to give up a pick, but you're going to have to draft one of these guys too.
Yeah.
And I just think a guy that's been sitting like that is in a better position than one of these guys you're just drafting. Another one. Here's another one for you, and I don't remember how much you like this guy, but what about Aaron Murray?
No, he's 4 foot nine.
Well, he's definitely a little dude. He's 6 foot.
No, thank you.
But another guy that some people like. But basically what you're looking for is a Tyrod Taylor with guys like that.
Yeah.
And you're looking for a guy who never really played, so you don't know. And I think all three of those were higher thought of than Tyrod Taylor coming out of college.
Yes.
And again, I don't know how much they've developed. I know Tom Coughlin was really high on Nassib. And, of course, Tom Coughlin's out of a job now. And then you get into the guys that are really not realistic. Peyton Manning probably won't be back in Denver, but I don't think he's going to be back at all.
I don't think he's going to play next year.
Drew Brees is, now that Peyton's staying, he's going to restructure his contract, yeah. So that's a pipe dream. Kirk Cousins isn't going anywhere. They're going to overpay him in Washington, and he's going to be terrible. Brock Osweiler is another one who's a potential free agent. He's not going anywhere because
he's the future in Denver.
So I think you can forget all those kind of guys. And then, you know, I just kind of made fun of the Tebows and Vince Youngs and stuff because it's a joke. The only CFL guy that I like is Bo Levi Mitchell. I think he's really good, but he's also under contract through 2018, so I don't think he can even try out with an NFL team, so I don't think he's an option. So basically, dude, that's what's out there. That's what's out there.
Much like last year, this is a situation where I don't think the answer exists. You know what I mean? I don't think that there's a guy that you can get this offseason that I even feel, you know, 60-40 is going to be your quarterback for the next 5 years.
I would agree with that. I think at best you're looking at
a coin flip.
At best. I wasn't even going to say that. I was going to say 40%. But if you do get the right one and you hit on one and that's your guy, then it doesn't matter. And the cost isn't that much if we're talking about a guy like Hundley or Nassib, or you know, if you're going to draft Christian Hackenberg, that's a second-round pick most likely. So, I mean, those are your options, though. And when everybody says, oh, you got to go get a quarterback. You got to go get a quarterback.
And everybody said that last year.
I know.
And you know what? I couldn't even really clown the Texans for not taking one, because if I were in their spot, I wouldn't have taken one either.
But otherwise, you're looking at the same group. And as long as you've got this group here, I think your ceiling is what it is pretty obvious.
You're right, man.
So I didn't do this to depress people. I just wanted to
put
it
all
in one
together,
place.
I mean, we've talked about it so much, and we get calls about it weekly, and you know, we've discussed this topic over and over, but this is, like, when you put it all together, there's not one name you said that I would say, I'm 60% or higher positive that guy will be the quarterback here in 5 years if they sign him.
Yeah.
Not one of them.
But
and that's crazy.
But those are the names that are out there. And I said, I put it all in one place so you easily have a place to go look and say, okay. But somewhere, one of those guys is going to be in the mix.
Well.
But you know what? I don't care, because I'm going to sleep well tonight anyway.
You'll sleep well.
I'm going to sleep like a champ because of Texas Mattress Makers. Yeah, well, because he's got job security.
That's right.
But you can score big when you get the bed made for you at Texas Mattress Makers. They get them custom fitted. They custom fit them for you right there at the factory. They sell them to you directly. And, man, that makes all the difference in the world in how you sleep. You could go to a retail store, pay a bunch of money. Don't do that. Go see my friends Yuval and the gang over at Texas Mattress Makers. They're going to get it right. They're going to put you on a quality, handmade mattress that fits the way you sleep. And you're going to sleep better, and you're going to feel better. And guess what? They've got so many great mattresses available right now. They've got that inventory blowout sale going on. Mattress sets starting at $249 to $399, and they're flying out the door. These are quality, top-of-the-line sets at factory-clearing prices. At Texas Mattress Makers, they always make it about your sleep. And I promise you, you're going to get a great deal. You're going to save at least 50% guaranteed. And if you get out of there with one of these $249 mattresses, man, you're going to be like, wow, how did I get this for this price? Well, it's because Texas Mattress Makers takes care of you. They take care of the Blitzers. Visit them at 4619 Navigation at the corner of Lockwood and Navigation today. Better sleep at factory prices. Texas Mattress Makers, TexasMattressMakers.com. I kept everything inside, and even though I tried, it all fell apart. What it meant to be will eventually be a memory.
ESPN 97.5. Come on. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. So we were talking about the daily fantasy thing. And, yeah, I've been playing fantasy horse racing on Derby Wars. I got an email. It says, wanted to thank you for your support of Derby Wars and provide an update on the recent statements made by the Texas Attorney General against daily fantasy sports. As the Texas Attorney General has offered a negative opinion on fantasy sports illegal pending further legislation starting today, Derby Wars players with a Texas residence will not be allowed to deposit funds via credit card.
Ah.
You may use PayPal to fund your account and play. We regret the inconvenience. Then they go on, PayPal is extremely easy to use. I mean,
it is easy to use.
It is, and I mean, right now I've got a whole bunch of money in there, so I don't. I'm wondering if I shouldn't cash out.
It might be the best move.
Yeah, because I'm enjoying doing it. And see, I can always I shouldn't admit this. I can always put money in these things with my Canadian credit card. That's how I get money into PokerStars. That's how I get money into anything. You know, Bovada will take my regular cards,
right?
But anything that won't take Texas. Because we technically have a Canadian address in addition to this one, and a Canadian credit card. So I'm pretty sure I can use our CIBC card and put money in there if I need to, but then I have to explain it to the wife, which is never any fun. What's this charge for? Let's put money in
there. Yeah, who wants to deal with that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But, you know, this whole thing's kind of silly, but that's... So I don't know. I know a lot of you have been playing on that, and I'm kind of disappointed because... we were going to do some business with them. But I'm thinking maybe I should get my money out of there. Did Barry really use the word cowgirls?
Yeah, come on, Barry Warner. You're a grown man. You can do better than that.
Well, I mean, it is a phrase from the 70s, so I guess it kind of makes sense. You know what? We've been getting this question a lot this week, so I'm going to go ahead and answer it, even though it says, would Peyton Manning be a good quarterback coach or maybe even a head coach in the future? No, I don't think so. I think Peyton will wind up as one of the ESPN talking heads.
I think he could do that. I mean, the dude's also got enough money that he could just be done and walk away and be hidden.
Yeah.
You know?
Although I think he likes a spotlight too much.
What I think more likely than a coach would be an ownership position or something like that, like Elway did.
Yeah, I mean, I think he could step into that kind of role. But as a coach, most of the guys like that that are really good, like I don't think Tom Brady would be a good coach.
No.
I mean, those guys who study as hard as they do and work as hard as they do, you can't always translate that to people you're trying to coach.
Well, it also takes a bit of selfishness to be that great at something.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, everybody says, "Oh, how great is it for Brock Osweiler to learn behind Peyton Manning?" Ask Aaron Rodgers how great it was to learn behind Brett Favre, because Brett Favre wasn't teaching Aaron Rodgers anything.
No,
I'm not trying to help that dude out. He's trying to beat him.
Well,
so you don't really know how good of a coach he'd be.
No, it's been my experience that guys like that are terrible coaches in the end, because they just can't. They can't teach guys what they know innately and what they do on instinct. And, you know, it sounds silly, but the truth is, great players, there's a reason they don't make great coaches. The guys who make the best coaches are the guys that do stuff, like they're the guys sitting on the bench next to the coach who are hard workers, but the only reason they're on the team is because they understand the game really well. And those are the ones that wind up being good coaches. And usually they're sons of coaches, too, and they get pretty far simply because of that. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, be happy to take we can't take your phone calls, really. But, yeah, I'm going to cash out. I was having fun on that.
I'd say it's a smart move,
yeah,
man.
I know. I was having fun on that. They were easy, especially playing those little Delta Downs on Wednesday nights. I was just raking money out of there. Oh, well. More money for us in San Francisco next week. That's the way I look at it. We'll probably get some poker in while we're there.
That's going to be a good trip.
It is. Looking forward to it. And it's really cool. I haven't been there in 20 years, and I'm excited. And we'll talk a lot more Super Bowl next week, obviously, when we're there, because we'll have access to a whole bunch of people, and we'll get you some great interviews. So we'll have plenty of time to get to that. But we will hit RJ up a little bit today. And talk to him about how the spread's going and how that line's moved. And, you know, it's interesting because I still don't know. I was talking to Voldemort about this off air. And, you know, I think the smart money is to be on the opposite of the public almost all the time. There are times when the public's right. And I kind of feel like the Panthers are the better team. But from a value perspective, I just kind of feel like you have to take the points here. And, you know, I see a lot of scenarios, especially if the Panthers get them down the way they have the last 2 weeks of these other teams. Denver's got no shot in that game. Denver's going to have to win this 23-17, 23-20, somewhere in there, much like they did against the Patriots. And it's going to have to be that kind of game for them to win, which is why if I like the Broncos, I think I'm leaning under. And if I like the Panthers, I'm probably going to pounce on the over. And I don't know where I'm at yet on it.
I'm with you. I think that the initial instinct is to take the points. And you know, RJ says all the time, it's a contrarian league. If you're going to win betting the NFL, you have to approach it in a contrarian style. And he's right. And my initial thought is, take those points, especially because they're now getting up to close to a touchdown.
Yeah. Boy, if it gets outside of a touchdown, you got no choice, right? If it gets a 7.5, I didn't think that was possible.
If it gets to 6.5, don't you buy a half point anyway?
Probably.
You know, so, and everyone points to the Seahawks-Broncos Super Bowl a couple of years ago. And on one hand, I would say, you know, that you may be right, and the Broncos I mean, I see the similarities between the Seahawks team and this Panthers team, and the Broncos are less of a team offensively than they were then.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you have to ask yourself if that game was an anomaly, and if that game got played again a week later, would the result have been the same? And I don't know that it would have. I still think the Seahawks would have won because I think the Seahawks were better.
Yeah.
But I don't think they would have just pounded them like
no,
that.
No, and so much went wrong early for the Broncos from the snap that led to the touchdown, and all of a sudden they got in a big hole. But I can see a scenario where that happens in this one. And if it does, then, yeah, this game could very well get out of hand. And I think for it to not get out of hand, Broncos can't turn the ball over, and they're going to have to – and I think they can slow down Carolina's offense. That I'm not worried about. But I am worried about, okay, Carolina makes it 10-0, gets one nice drive and a field goal. Suddenly they start pressing. Peyton throws a pick. Peyton throws a pick six. The game can get out of hand fast.
Yeah.
And that I could certainly see happening. But and the other factor I keep going back to, and like I said, I haven't talked myself into or out of anything yet. I already made one bet when it was – I didn't think it was going to get as high as it did, and I felt like it was a value on the Broncos, but not for much. But I've thought all along the NFC was better this year, and I think significantly better. This team beat all the best teams in the NFC. And
yeah, it hadn't been an easy path. They beat Seattle. They beat Arizona. The two teams at the end of the season that I said, that's the teams that I don't want to play. And they beat them both.
All right. We're going to take a quick break.
But at the same time, you thought the Broncos were going to go down every week, and they keep hanging around. You know?
And yeah, they played so well defensively against the Patriots. I mean, that was, you know, they're going to have to play like that again, though, to win. And I don't know if the Panthers have some things they can do differently than the Patriots. So we'll see. I will say this: the Broncos did beat the two best teams in the AFC, in my opinion, in getting there. I just think the NFC has been significantly better. All right, we are going to take a very quick break. We come back, it's RJ Bell time. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Blitz
on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz, live here at Sam Houston Race Park. And if you're coming out here, after 6 o'clock, the first two people who go up to the promo girls and say, stay sportsy, bitches, you get Mardi Gras tickets.
That seems inappropriate.
Eh, they'll deal with it.
All right.
All right. Let's favorite segment of the week. Joining us now, as he does every Friday at this time, pregame.com, RJ Bell. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. And RJ, we have to thank you for something, which you probably thought we should have thanked you for about a month ago, but since we only got it this week, there was a really nice package of Christmas gifts for us from a certain RJ Bell that apparently has been sitting in a closet at the office because no one thought to tell AJ that he had a package.
So let's think about this now. So you're saying there's a gigantic package. It arrives with your name on it, the show's name on it, and the response is, let's throw it in a closet and forget about it?
That is exactly what happened. And so basically, it got thrown into the promo closet, and the promo director came up to me and said, why do you have a box in the promo closet? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, lady. She said,
maybe that attitude is why you guys are having trouble getting your mail.
She said, this thing's been in here for 3 weeks. I said, I don't know. What is it? So she gives it to, I see immediately it's from you. I said, oh, my God, because I remember you asking me for the address. And so they said, well, it sat by the front desk for a week, and they didn't know what else to do with it. It's because apparently saying, hey, AJ, you've got a package at the front desk would have been very difficult for them. And, you know, even though we have a mail room in our office building where everyone has a mailbox, and that seems like a sensible place to put it as well, that was too difficult, so they said, let's throw it into a closet where he won't see it for a month.
Well, let's just say this. You guys are going to love it, and I have to. I don't send many out, but with degenerates like you, big city radio, I got to support the degenerates, so enjoy.
Thank you. We've already enjoyed it. Fred ate the entire bag of jelly beans.
Well, I definitely have already had one of those cigars, and that that pregamegood.com shirt has taken has been shown all over Houston. So
awesome, awesome. But let me ask you guys a question about the Super Bowl. Is I've only asked this one other time. Do you think us not using or the NFL deciding not to use the Roman numerals for Super Bowl 50, is that a sign of decreasing, plummeting education standards? Because I can speak as a kid who grew up during the Super Bowl era. The only reason I know Roman numerals is because of the Super Bowl. I think we have a problem.
Have you not kind of wondered why we've used Roman numerals the entire time? Because that's always been my question is, why do I have to sit here and figure this out when you could just put what number it is and save everybody some trouble?
Well, I think way back when it was to make it a grander kind of event. But I think it's great. I mean, I think it, you know, there's a famous Simpsons where Bart had, they said, take door number 4, but the doors had Roman numerals. So he didn't know exactly. He goes, wait a minute, Rocky. And he started saying, Rocky 4, okay. And then he went through the that door. So I think Rocky and the Super Bowl is the only thing keeping Roman numerals alive, and I, for one, am a fan.
See, I don't need it. It's like cursive writing to me. I've got no use for it anymore. We're past that point where you don't need it.
Listen, again, some people are more salt of the earth, and some are a little more educated, and we each, you know, I hope you're comfortable on your side of the equation.
Well, it's also like spelling. I've noticed now that
you don't need to spell with this.
No one needs to know how to spell anymore because, like, my brother is 22 years old and he's borderline retarded when it comes to spelling. And, I mean, he's otherwise a pretty sensible human. He just can't spell anything, and it's you realize it's because he doesn't have to. So,
but remember, spell checkers can mistake words too, so that can be dangerous.
Yeah, don't get me started on the education system. We did a whole 2.5 hours on nothing else the other day on the show.
That's true.
So, RJ, man, tell us what's going on with this betting, because when I saw this moving, I assumed, okay, the public's all over Carolina, so the sharps must be on the other side, but everybody's on Carolina.
Right now, and this is shocking, and you know, we do this, we've done this segment for years now, so I think listeners know I'm not one for exaggeration or hyperbole. Literally, the insiders here in Vegas I'm talking to, these are the adjectives I'm hearing about the Carolina action. Astonishing, historic, inexplicable. It's that big, the fact that Carolina was bet from 3.5 to 4 to 4.5 to 5 to 5.5, and now, excuse me, in many spots, 6. And you might say, well, a move from 3.5 to 6 doesn't seem historic. Here's the thing. An NFL move, regular season from 3.5 to 6, that's extremely unusual, that kind of big move. But okay, it happens a decent amount. Now you say, what about in the Super Bowl? And I'm going to say, well, listen, since there's so much more betting, like maybe 20 times the action on the Super Bowl, you're going to say, well, that kind of move is even bigger. But here's what makes it historic. It's the first week. As the first few minutes of this segment shows, we're a week ahead of the game. We're talking about other things. 9 days away. The fact that there's been such lopsided action on the Panthers already 9 days before the game, and the real public money hasn't even gotten started yet, because that happens the week of the game, the weekend of the game, the game day itself. All of that has more action than we've had the last 4 or 5 days, but already we've moved to 6. I think there's a real friction point at 6.5. If it goes to 7, it's going to be a big surprise, but I think there's a chance. Imagine +7, -3.5. If that game falls 4, 5, 6, or 7, Carolina winning, it will be one of the worst days in the history of Las Vegas, if not the worst. So it really is a situation that the books hate how much this line has moved. And the fact that we're only in week 1 is a sign that this is really unusual, all of the Carolina action.
Is this a sign that the odds makers made a mistake posting that initial number where they did?
Absolutely. Anytime you see a line move, that is tantamount to a mistake. And tantamount might be, you know, again, on the educational side, that's equal to a mistake.
Thank you, Mark.
And
thank you.
It's something, I set you guys up with that. But it's something where, by definition, they're saying we're lopsided. And we're not comfortable being lopsided, because a lot of the time, and you saw this with the New England-Denver game, and this was fascinating last week, is 70%+ of the public action was on New England. The professional action was heavy on Denver. What did they do? They just stayed right at three, even though in some one place actually take the 2.5, but for the most part stayed at three. Now think about that. There was more public money, but they knew the pros had the right side. They felt comfortable Denver was the right side, and they were willing to be lopsided. Right? When you move the line, you're saying, I'm not willing. I got to try to even this money out, so I'm going to make the other side more appealing. So Denver is more appealing at five than at four, plus five, and they're more appealing at plus six than at plus five. This is all the line move. The purpose is to make the side that's not getting the action more appealing. And I think we've got a situation here where they so misjudged the appetite for Carolina that they've got a ton of lopsided exposure. The books do at bad numbers. They might be more comfortable being lopsided on Carolina at minus seven, but at minus 3.5 and minus four, they're not comfortable at all. So very bad odds making by Vegas.
We always talk about being contrarian is the best way to be ahead. At what point, when if they keep raising this number, and at what point are you being a contrarian by taking the Panthers at the big number?
All right, so we'll continue with the education theme. So there's something called asymmetrical risk. Now, that means that there's a chance it's going to be A, there's a chance it's going to be B, but A is so much more important than B. So it's not symmetrical, it's asymmetrical. So let's think about if the line's 6.5. And you're saying, okay, it could stay 6.5. And if it does, doesn't matter if I bet now or bet later. So that's a wash. Now, if it goes to 7, if I like the dog, gain the second most key number in the NFL. 3 is the most key. If it goes to 6, I've lost, you know, a win at 6. But 6, though somewhat a key number, is significantly less valuable than 7. So to me, I think the odds of it going to 7 are not 50%. I think it's less than 50%. I talked to a guy I respect the heck out of, says he thinks it's 20-1 it goes to 7. Like, he says it's a crazy long shot. I disagree with him. So there's different opinions on this. But my thinking is, if it gets to 6.5, wait, because if you do lose, you know, if it goes back to 6, you've lost something, but if it goes up to 7, you've gained more. So my sense is, I don't think it's even possible to get to 7.5. So I think if you can find a 7 somewhere and you like Denver, grab it. I'm not certain it will get there, but I think it's worth the risk, the wait. And that's where I'm going to be on Denver at the highest number that I can find.
Well, I've kind of already told myself that if I see a 6.5, and, you know, obviously you're out there in Vegas, you don't have the same option, but if you play offshore, that's the point where I'm going to buy a half point and get that 7 anyway and just give up a few cents.
Yeah, but you're giving up 10 cents. So, I mean, you can buy.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
To get a touchdown, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, but obviously you'd much rather have plus 7 minus 110 than plus 7 minus 120. So you're right, is if you can buy 7 for a dime, it actually 7's worth about 11 cents. So it's actually a slightly positive EV buy. A lot of books charge you 15 cents for 7. And at that point, it's certainly not a half point to buy.
That's RJ Bell, who is bringing the knowledge today. That was, yeah. That's why I love having you on. Is that we're just going to throw all this at them and let them take from it what they may.
RJ,
why?
are we gonna have you next Friday?
Absolutely, big yes. We're gonna have a ton of props. You guys have me 52 weeks a year, so yeah, Super Bowl week, you're gonna have me for sure. I will say this quickly. I know we gotta run. This is the trend of the week, and really think about it because it shows you how the public likes the dominant team, especially in the playoffs. NFL teams after scoring 40+ points in the playoffs. So Carolina did that. The next week, 5-23 against the spread. And that's because there's more public money in the playoffs. They overreact to what they saw. They see offensive domination, which they love. They bet that team again next week. They get more expensive. The other side is the value. 5-23. That's strong.
RJ, next week when you come on with us, keep in mind that we're going to be on about 500 stations next week, because we're going to be on not only our station, we're doing Yahoo National Radio as well, so bring your A game.
You know something is, to me, if you guys are on air, I don't care if it's just me and you at the sports book, my A game's there. 500 stations does fine with me.
All right, good to hear.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man. All right, that's RJ Bell.
500 stations who will be bitching about everything that we do, so you don't really have to step it up for them.
Is it 500? Yeah.
That's what Wikipedia says. I don't know for sure.
I think it's like 380 is that we're actually on.
What do I know? They probably embellished. I don't know.
Well, it'll be fun to get to places like Louisville.
Duluth. I can't wait to
Ames,
be in Duluth.
Billings.
Helena.
Yeah. Our act's going to play real well there. I could just tell.
Eugene, Oregon.
First time we start talking about money coming out of a woman's lady parts.
Jackson, Mississippi.
Oh, they love me in Jackson, Mississippi.
That's right.
When I did that Saturday night show, man, I got calls from there in Tuscaloosa every week.
Moose Toe, Minnesota.
No, that's Camel. Never mind.
No.
Yeah. Fargo?
Fargo.
Oh, jeez.
Fargo.
Love the show, eh?
Right. South Lyon, Michigan.
Flint,
ready?
Flint, Michigan, for people who haven't died from water yet.
No, we're not there for sure.
Oh, well.
We're not there for sure.
I know we're in a bunch of places in Ohio. We get Ohio. We're really big in the SEC corridor.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
I feel like my major complaint last year came from Columbus, Georgia, if I'm not mistaken, which... I'm familiar with Columbus, Georgia, because that's where I did basic training in airborne school. So that's a place that's near and dear to my heart.
There was some place
except
that
crybabies.
Well, there was some place that surprised me that seemed like it. And it might have been San Francisco. It was some place that I thought would be kind of
cool.
Yeah,
cool, bro.
It was that or Eugene or someplace like that.
Nobody's cool with us, Fred. That's what it boils down to.
Oh well, we'll figure it out.
We're not accepted.
All right, guys, I got to tell you, one cool thing is that we'll be able to tell 500 stations about how I lost 50 pounds and have been able to keep it off of my good friends at Quick Weight Loss Center. So maybe some of those people in Duluth, they can get on that home program. And listen, guys, we've been thinking about losing weight. One way to do it, man, give my friends at Quick Weight Loss Center a call, man. They can take care of you, believe me. I've been getting these Facebook memories from 3 years ago for the last couple of weeks, and it's driving me nuts because I look at those pictures and I go, wow, man, you just look awful. And... Yeah, I was able to get the weight off, and I was able to get back to doing what I wanted to do, which was work out and get in the gym and run and live a healthy, active lifestyle, and I just was in no position to do that. And it's easy for it to happen, man. You're working all the time. You're spending all your time at the desk. You don't have time to get into a routine. The next thing you know, you look up, and it's like, hey, I got to lose some weight. Well, they've been helping people for 28 years now. You can lose more weight faster and easier, up to 100 pounds or more, no exercise required, no prepackaged meals. And this week only, it's Friends and Family Week. Half off full programs, bring a friend, family member, or come alone and get half off. Kids join free with parent enrollment. Some conditions apply. Drop by one of their 15 great Houston locations. I go to the one over on Kirby. Or if you're outside, maybe you're in Duluth, you can get on that home program. Just visit quickweightlosscenter.com. You'll get a free no-obligation consultation. Better yet, give them a call right now, 1-888-305-1117. That's 1-888-305-1117. Quick Weight Loss Center, 1-888-305-1117.
What do you say? Something beautiful, something free. Hey, you know why you gotta be made? You have a name, man, it's hard to be clean.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. 713-780-ESPN. Hey, this Saturday is the richest race day in Texas. Join me at the special 5 p.m. post time in the ESPN section. We'll play the handicapping contest. You could win a dinner for four in the Winner's Circle restaurant. Don't miss the guaranteed all-stakes pick four starting at 6. Watch, wager, and win at the park with ESPN 97.5. And I did post earlier in the day two pick four plays, one if you want to spend $48, one if you want to spend $90. So it just depends on how bold you feel. And... good luck with that.
Just throwing this out there, and you can connect this to our conversation from, was it Tuesday that we talked about education all day?
Yeah.
You can tie that to this story if you want, and maybe it'll... Well,
can we make this the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day then?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
this semester at the University of Kentucky. The school is offering an undergraduate course called Taco Literacy, Public Advocacy and Mexican Food in the U.S. South. Apparently, since the state has one of the fastest growing Latino populations in the country, they felt the need to offer a class on tacos. And I'm just assuming the class has to be paid for by the students in the class.
Well, which that's what I want us to be paying our tax money to go to, is so the kids can take a taco class.
What's included in your syllabus? They asked the professor. We're examining transnational community food literacies and how these connect the stories of people and food across borders. We explore the history of networks of Mexican and Mexican-American food in Kentucky by writing about recipes and rhetorics that deal with things such as authenticity, local variations, and preparations, and how food literacies situate different spaces, identity, and forms of knowledge. This is in our class intro. At the very end of the course, my students will be generators of knowledge, have a portfolio full of multimedia food journalism, and they will be over the fajita stage of Mexican food. The book, there are actually multiple books. The first book that they're using, the required reading, the first book is called Planet Taco, A Global History of Mexican Food. Tacopedia is one of the required books. Taco USA. And because, you know, you have to sometimes go a little bit deeper into what makes a taco, there's a book entirely dedicated to tortillas, because you need tortillas for tacos, called Tortillas, A Cultural History. Because I try to break down to my students that a really good taco will always depend on the tortilla.
I love the way that he writes a syllabus to make it sound like it's actually a useful class. That's what professors do. I could say this as a former professor. They'll take the dumbest possible class and make it sound like, it's multicultural. We're going to get into the underpinnings of how tacos became. No, stop. Stop. Come on.
My hope is at the very least that my students build more connections with the community and help with public writing. Things like helping out small Mexican restaurants with menus and website design if they'd like that. Stuff like that.
Yeah, because
God, what if your kid was going to the University of Kentucky and he said, "Dad, I need $3,500 this semester for my taco class."
I'd say, "Son, go get it from Coach Cal." You better. Because that's the only reason he'd be in Kentucky. So, wow. You know, I to be fair, there's every single school has some class like that where you just go, "What the bleep?" But come on, man, really?
That's a Matt Leinart course.
Yeah,
that's what Matt Leinart takes. I guarantee he wants to come back and win a title.
I guarantee you the entire Kentucky basketball team is in that class.
Yep.
Wow. Okay, your final exam, eat a taco. Well done.
You passed, sir.
Yeah. You're averaging 12 rebounds a game, so congratulations. Golly, that's so bad.
Boy, Benny.
That's higher education for you, man.
I
already have lost faith in humanity.
That didn't help.
No, that just made it worse.
Well, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Yeah, the one I was going to do was just to show how stupid people are in Wisconsin about cheese.
I like cheese.
Somebody cheese-jacked an entire trailer worth $70,000 in cheese in Wisconsin. That's how crazy they are about that stuff.
Was the cheese perhaps like a Colby Jack cheddar blend or something like that? Like a Mexican cheese blend that was going to Kentucky?
I don't know if it's something you would use on a taco or not.
For a taco class?
I love the way you just combine those two.
Yeah.
But
I stole the Gym of the Day.
No, that's all right because, that was better than cheese, I think. But, man, there are people who are crazy about cheese. I damn near didn't marry my wife the first time I saw her with her friends, and they're doing like a cheese tasting thing. And it's all this really weird goofball cheese. And I'm like, you guys are insane. And she's like, well, you do that with beer. And I go, yeah, but that's beer. That's a cool thing.
I like all kinds of cheeses.
I do, but I don't.
You know what kind of cheese I don't like? American cheese. My kids cry because we don't, because I refuse to buy like Kraft, like the yellow,
yeah,
or yellowish orange squares. We don't get that at my house. So,
well,
they want orange cheese. I'm like, no, you get sharp cheddar. That's as close as I can get for you.
Maybe you should join a cheese club.
No,
yeah, because if you did, then you could get 500 business cards for just $9.99 to pass out about your cheese club. Thanks, Mike.
I would never have 500 people in my cheese club.
Well, what about your beer club? You probably got 500 people in your beer club.
No. You know how hard it is to share a bottle 500 ways?
What about your A.J. Hoffman fan club?
Don't even have one.
Yeah, there's
– if I start one, I'll go with this.
Well, and that's what you can do with Vistaprint, man. 500 business cards for $9.99, and there's so many things you can use it for, whether it's just your small business or whether it's something like that. You got a club, you want to share things. This is the way to do it. It's great for small business owner. Tons of custom products. It's not just business cards. Postcards, flyers, banners, apparel, and invitations. They can do all of it for you. And they do it so inexpensive. It's so much better than going into a store and having all this done, because they can get it done right away, especially when it comes to these business cards. They guarantee you're going to love your products. You can customize all of them. Update your logo to one of the Vistaprint's designs or upload your own design. And for an even higher quality card, you can upgrade to a thicker stock or add a brilliant finish like metallic spot glass raised print. Very easy to use, very user-friendly. I've ordered cards on here, and I'm telling you, man, it's fast, and 500 for just $9.99. Just use my code FRED at checkout. That's up to a 50% savings over regular site pricing. Quality's great. They're easy to customize, and you can't beat the price. 500 business cards for $9.99. All you have to do, visit Vistaprint.com, design your custom business cards, enter my code FRED at checkout. That's code FRED, F-R-E-D. You can be the one who ordered the code FRED. This is an exciting offer for a great product, so don't wait. Go to Vistaprint.com and order today.
Into the dark. Keep on running.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.